Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Villar on Thursday, the 2nd of April, recording at 8:56 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here on another exciting day. And in terms of global stock markets, we had a terrific relative strength in the Asian stock markets. Hong Kong booming nearly 7.5%, and we saw 4.4% gains in the Japanese Nikkei. The Nifty 50 has been India has broken to a new high, so big gains. Now, these were replicated in the European stock markets. Very powerful gains from sort of 4.25 for the UK FTSE index to over 6% for the German DAX index. Now, Wall Street was also strong, and of course it had been strong last night, but it has pared back the gains by about a third a few minutes before the close here. Nevertheless, we're still up over 2.5% across the boards on the Wall Street indices. Elsewhere, long-dated government bonds, profit-taking, as you would not be surprised to hear. In other words, the futures contracts are weaker in here today. And the precious, well, let me take the dollar first. The dollar's been weak. The U.S. dollar index is down to 84.46. But the yen has been even weaker. Sterling has been strong. The Antipodean currencies, well, firm. The Antipodean currencies have been quite strong in here. And euro dollar is currently up nearly 2 cents at 134.40. What else to mention? Precious metals. This has been interesting. Platinum strong. Actually, I take the whole metal section generally. Industrial metals are strong. Copper pushing right up to the top of its range, and that's in an overall upward trend, as is platinum. And platinum, right now, and it's a relatively thin market, so it does jump around a little bit, but the current price showing here is $1,165. That's up over 21 in here today. The agricultural commodities are mostly stronger. We've got, let's see, soybeans up another 25 cents. Crude oil has rallied sharply, currently up $4 here right now. So the commodities are doing really quite well here overall. The yen continues weak, and the dollar, as you just heard, is also easier. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, first, in terms of global stock markets, the consensus, if you look at the Western television programs, I'm talking about Bloomberg TV and CNBC, and if you hear most of the people who are interviewed on those programs, they're very uncertain. They have been talking about a technical rally, which it was at least, but they have mostly been describing it as a bear market rally. And yet, look at all the strength. Now, what's obviously happened in here again today is bears are getting squeezed. And that's been something that we've been seeing really since the end of the first week in March, when the downward reactions, where they occurred, and they, not all stock markets saw downward reactions, but that's when they bottomed. And the strength of the rally is in part an indication of just how very aggressive the bear traders have been. And the bear traders have been very vocal, of course, and there have been some quite dramatic projections on the downside in terms of where, Wall Street indices and other stock markets might go. So we're seeing this big bear squeeze. And what's very interesting is that on Monday, we saw some downward dynamics on a number of stock market indices where the rallies were just sort of pausing. I'm thinking now particularly in the U.S. and also in the European stock markets, rallies were just pausing near some overhead resistance levels. Then we had Monday's downward dynamics, indicating a potential beginning of a reaction and consolidation. The view you may remember articulated from here was that if stock markets were able to hold over half their gains seen since the March lows and then resume their uptrends, that if they were able to hold most of their gains, say, which I defined as at least half their gains, that that would be very impressive technical action. Well, that's exactly what we've seen here so far. It appears that Monday's downward reaction was the bottom of the little pause and correction that we've seen to date, leading to, again, a further bear squeeze, and that can only embolden the bulls. Now, another point that I've made in these broadcasts in recent weeks was that if the rally was going to really be good, if this really was a turning point, as we have been feeling it was, then it would be extremely persistent. And, you know, we wouldn't get dramatic volatility both ways, such as we saw back in October and early November. That was the sort of climactic phase of the bear market. And we've maintained that the balance of evidence, or what would follow on from that standpoint, would be a ranging reversion to the mean in terms of 200-day moving averages, that we'd get a lengthy convalescence, but that was the beginning of the end of the bear market. And the developments that have occurred in recent weeks, I think, very much reinforce that view. They support that view. Now, a lot of us in the English-speaking countries, and those of us living in the West, suffer from a sort of a Wall Street myopia. That's understandable. We get the most information coming out of Wall Street. It's the world's biggest, the U.S. has the world's biggest economy, the world's biggest stock market. We know all about the Wall Street leash effect. But I've described it as the big elephant in the room, which casts a long shadow, but isn't going to lead anything on the upside. It hasn't for a very long time. And also, the U.S. is no longer the engine for global GDP growth. That's moved out to Asia. Smaller engines out there, but clearly more dynamic. So we have to, using our global perspective, is to look at all stock markets and not telling them what to do or where they should be trading, but what's happening in terms of leads and lags. Are we seeing base formation developments, or are we seeing downtrends being reaffirmed overall? Well, the bottom line here is that the weak markets, and those are mostly the Western stock markets, have all registered downside failures. They did that last month. And they've also broken up, or are in the process or close to breaking up, from these small consolidation patterns that have formed over the last week and a bit. And that the leaders, and that would be really Asian emerging markets, with the big ones led by China, and South American resources producers, the big one being Brazil, have completed base formations and are actually establishing overall upward trends. Now, in terms of patterns, those of you who have attended the chart seminar, we've been talking about a long convalescence, and well, you could say we've been convalescing since since that October selling climax, since late October. And so there are a number of sort of type 3 shapes in here. Some of the bases are smaller, such as what we see with China. And I think we'll probably get the full panoply of ending patterns here, in the sense that we will see some, we saw some tight, lots of type 1 downward accelerations. And we may now actually be getting some type 2 upward dynamics for some of these stock markets. Now, I know that sounds much too technical jargony, so I'll move on from that point, but a lot of you have attended the chart seminar and are interested in how these patterns form overall. But whereas we have often said in the past that if our beginning of the bottoming out process in October and November, and the reversion to the mean and so on, the ending of the bear market, that was all for the bulls to prove. And I think that was sort of an accurate summary overall. But I would say now, if this is just a bear market rally, and it could be in the sense that anything can happen, that's not a hedged comment. I don't think it is. I think this is the beginning, as I've said before, of a new bull market. The end of the old bear market marks the beginning of the new bull market. And that's what I think we're seeing. Unfortunately, it's being led by fuller money themes. And if I'm too optimistic in saying that, then it's for the bears to prove. And I think the bears have been quite complacent recently, you know, with very aggressive forecasts on the downside, and we haven't seen that playing out. Okay, what else to comment on here? Another fact there that we mentioned, I've so often mentioned as being really important in recent months. There's so much drama taking place that some of these comments can get lost in the shuffle of all the information that we're trying to comprehend. But I'd said that technically, that if we were right in the bottoming out and base building recovery process, that one of the best signals that stock markets were indeed entering a new bull market phase would be weakness of the yen and weakness of the dollar, because those, of course, were the most popular carry trade currencies, and particularly the Japanese yen. And therefore and people have been talking quite rightly for many months about this process of global deleveraging, and some of that no doubt still continues. But what I think we can now say is that the hedge funds have really completed most of that deleveraging. Other people who were deleveraging, banks, traders, businesses, whatever, that in terms of unwinding carry trade positions, that's mostly over. That's why we're now seeing the weaker yen, quite sharply weaker yen, and also the weakening U.S. dollar overall. It certainly wasn't the attractive interest rates or an inherent strength of those two economies that caused their currencies to be strong. So, you know, when you connect the dots here and add in all those building blocks of a new bull market that I'd said were in place, you know, the very low interest rates, the massive infusions of liquidity, stimulus packages right, left, and center to cushion downside risk in the global economy, apocalyptically bearish sentiment, which we do get at the bottom of the big bear markets, and this has been a big bear market, low commodity prices. You know, it's pretty well all there. The and we also saw a positive lead coming from long-dated government bonds, and signifying that those long-term interest rates were low as well, and corporate bonds, which in terms of the top quality corporate bonds, have seen very good recovery rallies in their prices. So those are all the precursors of a new bull market, or the building blocks of a new bull market, whatever you want to call it. Now, the missing ingredient, of course, was confidence. But confidence is not back big time, but it's improving, isn't it? It's improving in the sense that people are less extreme in their bearishness, and the bulls are emboldened to buy a little bit more actively. And if we get those type two really persistent rallies, what will happen is not only do you squeeze the bears, but as you squeeze the bears, inevitably we see some of those converted to a more bullish hypothesis. And we know another building block here for a bull market, huge amounts of cash on the sidelines. Well, that's fine when the markets aren't performing. But if markets are starting to move up, then the fear of being long and wrong is suddenly replaced with the fear of missing out on a big rally. Jeremy Grantham had talked about that fear, that risk, extensively in his excellent last quarterly. Well, they're all excellent, but I'm referring to the last one when you're mentioning this point. So there you have it. People will say, well, yes, but the news is awful. Well, sure. And, we've been saying for quite some time that you can look at the economic data, and the trend has been getting worse for quite some time. But more recently, I've been saying it's less bad than people were expecting. So, in terms of sentiment, if people have been expecting a depression, and if they've been saying, well, none of these stimulative efforts are going to have any positive effect at all, the whole system's completely out of control, that seems more emotional than analytical to me, but it was a prevalent view. And now they're seeing data, and as they reassess, they're saying, well, things are less bad than they were. They're still pretty bad, but they're less bad. Well, the fact, saying it's saying that things are less bad is an improvement, and for the market to go on going down, the news has to be after the big declines that we have seen, really, which commenced in 2007, and for the bank shares commenced really around February 2007. For us to get the other or another big down leg that so many analysts have been forecasting. Would really require the bad news to be getting even worse. And I'm saying, and I think we can all say quite objectively, that the bad news is getting less worse, and very importantly, perceptions about the bad news are really less dire. And then another sort of behavioral factor in all this. I'm doing a slightly longer audio here because I'm not going to be here tomorrow evening to do this or get in my points here overall. Is that something I've often commented on in recent weeks, particularly in February and March, that the bears were talking as if they knew exactly what was going to happen, and anybody who didn't see it their way was an idiot. At least some told me that I was an idiot, not seeing it their way. And they were certain, that markets were going to go lower, and quite colorful. to put it politely, in some of their commentary. And of course, the people who were the value players, who were looking at markets and saying, well, usually this is a time when it's a good idea to be accumulating, were still talking about how cautious they were going to be and so on, putting money in over time. But it's the fact that the bears were emboldened that I want to emphasize, because that's what we always get at market bottoms. Just as the bulls are greatly emboldened at market tops, and that situation of emboldened bears is another classic sign of an ending bear market, and of course an ending bear market is the beginning of a bull market. Now, could things go pear-shaped again? Well, yes, in the sense that theoretically anything can happen, but I wouldn't worry one single bit unless we at least see Monday's lows taken out. Now, they're not all that far away, so that gives all of you just a useful, I think, technical reassessment point. And meanwhile, I like the action, and I'm increasing some of my positions here once again. And there are lots of opportunities. So, and I've been saying for a number of weeks, months perhaps even, that we've been spoiled for choice. Platinum, fantastic staircase upward trend. Copper, a similar looking pattern overall in terms of its consistency, not quite as developed. I really like that. The stock markets I've already covered. Currency trades. To my chagrin, I don't have any more of my currency positions, but there have been opportunities in buying the euro against the yen and in buying the euro against the dollar that I played, and then my two favorites against the yen, the New Zealand and Australian dollars. They had a fabulous day in here today. Again, I'm no longer there, having had some positions come out at the beginning of the week. But I've got plenty of other positions, so I'm certainly not complaining here. Again, I feel we're spoiled for choice, and I feel that risks are virtually the opposite of perceptions. In other words, the bottom of a bear market, which is of course the beginning of a new bull market, the perception of risk is at its highest. Yet consider the valuations. That's the psychology and the emotional state that people are in. So I think this is a low risk environment with markets cushioned by lots of cash. Okay, let's move on here. What about these long dated government bonds? Well, I think they're all shorts, but, and this is a big but, we have the quantitative easing. Now, there's the threat of, well, or I don't think it's the threat of, well, yes, it is. It's sort of sometimes a threat of quantitative easing. When those bond prices weaken, then every now and then, as they have done here again today, and as we have seen recently, then the governments engaged in the quantitative easing nip in there and bid them back up. So, in terms of governments, we've got a big buyer out there, and I don't like being on the other side of that trade. So I've already said to you, I'm probably going to miss certainly the beginning of the next big bear market in long-dated government bonds. Then additionally, as long as a lot of people are still worried about deflation, let alone depression, then the bond yields are certainly unlikely to soar. I'm talking about the long-dated government bond yields. But I would be very uncomfortable having any long positions in those long-dated government bonds. I say, feeling that I'm spoiled for choice in terms of opportunities, I don't have to go in and and short those to put down a marker. But if you put a pistol at my head, I'd be shorting the little rallies that we get within ranges in the long-dated government bonds. Okay. In terms of currencies, I've already discussed that, and I do expect the yen and the dollar to weaken further. The strong currencies are the ones that weakened most during the bear market in equities, and those were the Asian emerging market currencies, and also the Antipodean currencies, as the proverbial Mrs. Watanabe brought all her currency back home. Well, I think people are pushing the boat out again in terms of the carry trade. Not only have we seen the unwinding of the forced deleveraging that was taking place, not only have we seen that process pretty much dry up, but I think that as risk appetite returns, we're seeing a return of some of those carry trade and positions overall. Now, what about gold and silver? And I've mentioned recently that, and I started mentioning it months ago, saying that we would get some IMF gold sales in a big, huge international economic crisis. Well, inevitably, the IMF is going to sell some gold. They've done it before, and they'll do it again at some time in the future. And we had an agreement, and we're in a communique that was released today by G20. They'd talked about their gold sales. No doubt all the specific bits of data will come out fairly shortly. But I think this is probably a sell the rumor and buy the news type of situation, although we don't have all the news yet. But I've also described recently gold as being in that slightly uncomfortable transitional phase when the people who had bought gold really because they were most concerned about global economic meltdown in addition to what we've already seen and wanted to hedge against that. So they bought gold. And it was not too hard to anticipate that when the world didn't seem to be ending quite so much as was feared, that some of those people would come out of those positions. And we've been in that sort of, say, slightly awkward period where they're coming out, and the hard money advocates have not been buying gold sufficiently aggressively to push it higher again. I think overall it's we haven't seen a whole lot of selling pressure. It's just sort of in a consolidation period overall. But it's not too surprising that as confidence begins to improve and as people have been covering shorts, that gold has been sort of overshadowed here by the recovering stock markets and some recovering commodities. And that's where we are in here today. I always maintain that in terms of my own strategy, I want to be buying the precious metals on easing for the most part. I don't always do that, and I picked up a little bit more platinum in here today. But I also picked up some more silver in here today because that fell quite sharply at one stage. But I do feel that on if not a short-term basis, on an intermediate term basis and a longer term basis, this fiat currency world, we are going to see that demand for the precious metals return. Meanwhile, platinum's outperforming because people had sold it down so dramatically because of their concern over automobile demand in the form of need requirements for the catalytic converters. But with platinum, so you get not only the precious metal, but you also get that industrial demand side, and it was pretty cheap And when that went from 2,500 or whatever it was up around the high, down to $800, well, that had discounted a pretty substantial downturn in the global automobile industry. And as I mentioned the other day, as one of my clients had said to me that really, if you own platinum, that's also a call option on something going wrong in terms of the supply stream from South Africa. And that could be strikes, it could be last time it was power outages. So interesting situation here overall. But I think I've gone on enough in all this. So I'm going to draw it to a halt and get the comment of the day formatted and posted. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.